relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One. I'm often asked, how do you make a difference? How do we guarantee that the MAGA message, America First, isn't just something associated with President Trump and the White House, but is in fact something that represents a movement across the nation? How do we guarantee that we don't have a reprise of 2020, not in just the midterms, but in the 2024 election? Well, it's very easy. We've got to have MAGA candidates everywhere. And I mean from the local school board on up. It's not just about congressmen. It's not just about senators or the White House. It is about being able to show that the events of 15, where a non-politician came to represent America for the first time in our history, because every other president before him had been a retired general, a former governor, or a senator. That isn't just a one-off phenomena. It is a national one. Well, that's why we are delighted to invite on the show people who represent exactly that trend. And we have with us today Robbie Starbuck, who is running for a congressional seat, the fifth congressional seat in Tennessee. He's been on the show before. Welcome back, Robbie Starbuck, to America First One-on-One.
Thank you for having me. You know this is one of my favorite shows, so I'm always happy to be here.
Most kind, most kind. We're going to talk about everything, your family background, why you're running, how you see the midterm elections, the presidential elections. But first, I have to ask you, it's Starbuck2022.com. How is the campaign going?
It's going fantastic. In fact, Senator Rand Paul and I just did a town hall here in my district. It was a telephone town hall. And the technology, if you're not familiar with it, is just absolutely amazing. You get so many people on these calls. We got over 19,000 people on our telephone town hall from my district. Wow. And we got to answer their questions, and we got to stay on for a very long time. And they can press buttons on the phone to request, you know, signs for their house, to volunteer. And then we did a poll of the district as well. And in that poll, I'm proud to say that we were in first place by a lot. And so we're very excited about where we're at in this race, and we feel the momentum is just growing and growing and growing. Honestly, it's exploding. And so this is sort of a testament to the fact that America First policy in MAGA means something to people beyond 2015, beyond 2020. It means something to their families, and it means that our country and their families deserve to be first. And so they're looking at candidates and they're not saying, you know, what is your political history? The truth is, political history, I think, is a detriment to people, because if you look at this, people are saying, we've spent decades electing career politicians, and that's exactly how we got here. And so why the heck would we do the same thing again? I mean, we've all said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. So why would we go and fall into that trap? And so I think that's why we're at where we're at, is people are looking at the race and they're saying, this is an outsider. He doesn't know any promises to anybody in politics. He's free to just do the work of the people. And that's sort of been our message, is that I'm unencumbered by all those favors that people make throughout their careers. I can just go and fight for you.
Yeah, that's exactly why people elected President Trump, because nobody owes him. Before we move on, I'm so curious, with thousands of people on this electronic virtual town hall, and you and Senator, was it Senator?
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul. Was there a theme when you got questions? Was there anything that was recurrent? What did your constituents demonstrate the most concern for, Robbie?
The theme was pain. The American people are in pain right now. They're in pain all the way around, from the gas pump to the grocery store to their workplaces, where they're being indoctrinated with ideas that are just plain hateful towards your average American, to just your everyday life and the politics that have sort of gone and invaded every segment of our culture, to trying to force people to get injections or force masks on their kids. It's pain. pain all the way around. And people want pain relievers up in Washington, D.C., people to go and unleash their rights and their freedoms again. They're tired of these people trying to strip them of everything they love. And I think that's it. Tired and painful and ready to fight because they know that this is our only chance. We don't do it now. This is it. They've already taken so much from us, and we don't have a lot more left to give. And so if they keep taking more, we're going to be left with nothing, and we're going to be ruled over by tyrants. And, you know, I think there's a whole segment of people like myself who are just saying, we're not going to let this happen. You know, I know you want to talk about my family background later.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So you are uniquely qualified to speak about the danger of tyrants, not just being a theoretical one. So let's jump in. We're talking to Robbie Starbuck. He's running for the 5th Congressional District in Tennessee. Tell us why you understand the threat to America so well.
Well, you know, I understand the threat to America so well because this has happened many times before. The push towards Marxism in America is not a new thing. And one of the places that it has happened before is in Cuba. That's where my family came from. And in Cuba, it was another one of those things where, honestly, a lot of people didn't see it coming. And in America, I think, sadly, there were a lot of people who didn't see it coming and still don't see it coming, sadly. And the reality is it always happens the same way. The truth is Marxism can never come to fruition in a happy country. It has to be full of chaos, and you have to separate children from their families. You have to divide the family, and you have to make hedonistic culture popular culture. And that's exactly what's been done here in America across every segment of culture and in academia, you name it, and they've taken it over on the left. And now they've gone on this march to separate children from their parents. That's what you see in the trans agenda that's going throughout schools and the lies from Democrats saying that there's this don't say gay bill in Florida that's truthfully actually an anti-grooming bill to keep pedophiles from grooming children. But this is what they do. Marxists are not honest. They stole everything from my family. And, you know, I tell this story sometimes to people because I think it's a really great visualization of what leftism is. When my family was leaving Cuba, my mom was allowed to take one item with her, and she took a family heirloom. And it was this doll that had been passed down.
They were allowed to take one item?
One item. That's it. One item. They lost everything. All the money they had, their car, their home, and three generations of my family lived in that home, and all of it was taken by the government. And so they had one item. And that item was this family heirloom, a doll. And when they got to the airport, my family was one of the lucky ones where at least half of the family was able to go via airplane. The rest of them had to wait longer. My grandpa didn't come for years and years until the State Department could get him out. But, you know, when you look at this, what happened at the airport is they took that doll from my mom and they cracked its head open. And they did that because they wanted to make sure she wasn't hiding money in the head of a doll. Okay. And it may seem, you know, silly to some people. It's a doll. In my family, it wasn't a doll. It was something that meant something a lot more. It was generation to generation. And it's sort of a great symbol to understand that leftism steals everything eventually. It doesn't just steal one thing and then you're silent because you say, I don't want to ruffle feathers. You need to ruffle feathers because it is coming for everything in your life. It will strip you and rob you of everything you love. And that is what is coming here in America. And if we don't have people in Congress and higher up in the White House, if we don't have people there who understand that and are ready to fight it with every fiber of their being and make hard decisions that may be very unpopular with the Democrats in our country and are okay with being hated by the Democrats in our country and the media in our country and taking all those arrows, we are going to be in big trouble. And so that's what I'm dedicated to doing. You know, I'll take every arrow I need to take, and that's the type of people we need in Washington right now, is people who don't care about being liked but who care about saving the country.
And you've mentioned the transgender agenda, what's happening in the schools. Are you heartened? Are you excited by the resistance that you've witnessed in America in the last year, year and a half?
You know, I'm split. I am heartened, but at the same time, I'm disheartened that this is even a conversation in our country because it speaks to what the establishment has allowed to happen and how conservatives have largely not conserved anything for decades because we've elected those career politicians over and over and over again. So it's a reminder of our failure, but at the same time, I am heartened by seeing parents stand up and say, you know what, this is a bridge too far. We're not going to allow this. We don't want our daughters to be beat by biological men in the pool or in any other sport. And, you know, I've actually experienced this lunacy firsthand because I used to live in California. I have a 13-year-old daughter. And I've got a couple other kids, but she's my oldest. And when she was younger, we lived in California, and she was in a soccer league where they actually added a boy to one of the other teams. And our only experience with this was one game, and that boy got violent during the game, and he actually attacked a girl, okay? So there was no better. And I remember, this is a very liberal place in L.A., and I looked over at all the liberal parents who I had warned about this, and I look over and I see the thought bubbles in their heads going, oh, wow, Robbie was right about this. This doesn't work.
And that's part
and parcel.
It's
plain to everybody. It doesn't work.
No, of course. It's common sense. It's just nature. And we need to push back. His decision is to run for Congress. Follow him on Twitter at Robbie Starbuck. His website is Starbuck2022. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. Make sure you never miss an episode of our show. Go to your podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Punch in my name, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe. It's free. Write a review. Share the links. And you'll guarantee never to miss a second. If you haven't done so already, register for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year in the Holy Land with my wonderful Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie. We're going to visit the places you may only have read about in the Bible. We're actually going to be there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, visiting the Holy Church of the Sepulchre. Even if you've been to Israel before, that doesn't matter. Because you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Reserve your seats today. Go to standwithisraeltour.com or call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. Standwithisraeltour.com. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. Robbie, you have a fascinating, it's a background that most people would say doesn't presage well or doesn't prepare you for the vicissitudes of the swamp in a political life. Tell our millions of listeners across the country what you did for a living before you thought it's time to become part of the MAGA movement.
Yeah, so I was a filmmaker. I directed Oscar-winning actors, actresses, some of the biggest music stars in the world. And for anybody who doesn't think that's good preparation for D.C., my job was basically managing a bunch of egos and making them get things done, hard things done, and also ensuring that you're able to, you know, get things done on time, which is very important. You know, so I think that my experience there, and by the way, that whole world is politics and entertainment. So it's actually, I think, one of the best sort of preparations for going to D.C. because you really learn how to deal with this wide range of people who all disagree with each other and are always fighting with each other. And how to navigate the politics of that. So I think that it is actually really great preparation. And on top of that, I was a business owner because I owned the production company. And so that prepared me as somebody who had to manage a large staff and a large group of employees and crews. You know, I think over my career, we probably employed, you know, well over 1,500 people on crews. And so managing that myself that I personally oversaw is great experience for going into D.C. and how it affects all the policies affect the lives of so many people.
Well, they do say, well, how does the saying go? D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people. And Hollywood is D.C. for stupid people. Robbie, give us, you told the story that you were living in California. Your young daughter was on a soccer team. They let this boy play on it. And then people realized that, you know, Robbie was right. Walk us through the decision, because it's a tough decision to make. What were the seminal events that made you say, okay, I'm in Tennessee now, and I'm going to dedicate my life to representing the people of Tennessee. How did you come to that decision to run for Congress?
Yeah, so, I mean, the lunacy of California is really what drove us away, you know, way back. We came before the Great Migration, but it was the same reasons. We saw what was coming down the pipeline. We knew California was going to be a disaster, and my wife's from the South. And so we said, we got to raise our kids in the South. That's where we want to be. It's where our values are. It's where our heart is. And Nashville was a place where we had spent a lot of time, my wife and I, just the two of us. It was like our spot. So we always knew that's where we wanted to have a farm, and that's what we did. We bought, you know, a nice farmhouse, you know, tons of acreage for the kids. And that's the life we want to live. And it's just been the most beautiful thing for our family. And in terms of running, though, it was really 2020 and the failure of our representatives, especially their failure to protect the elections and to do what was necessary to fight for President Trump. They didn't do it. They failed at their job, and many of them were really cowardly in doing so. And so, you know, I said, these people are so upset, and I'm dealing with them every day, and they all feel like they don't have real representatives. I want to go and fight for these people. And so it was never something I wanted to do. In fact, I think if you're born thinking, hey, I want to be a politician, you probably have a screw loose or
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that was not a natural desire from me. And it's definitely not one I have long term. I don't want to be in Congress for 30 years at all. I don't think anybody should be. I would argue it's actually the reason we're in a large part of the trouble we're in. But, you know, so it was very clear and easy to me once I had that realization where I said people need a fighter and I have nothing to lose. I have nobody to answer to. You know, I'm in a great place in my life. My wife's a huge supporter and she feels the same way I do about the country. And we said, hey, we've got nothing to lose. All we need is each other. So let's go fight. And whatever enemies we make along the way. And that's fine by me.
Talk to us about the technicalities. I understand there's been some redistricting in Tennessee. Has that hurt you? What is the reality? When I see these maps, this gerrymandering, it looks like insanity with crayons. Talk to us about the situation in Tennessee.
So redistricting in my race actually is a major, major help to us because it was a Democrat seat for over 100 years. And now because of the growth of Tennessee and the growth of Middle Tennessee specifically, which has been largely an exodus of conservatives from other states, it became a very conservative seat now. So it went from a plus 17 Democrat seat to now I think 538 has it at a plus 16 Republican seat. And so it's, you know, definitely to our advantage now and has been a really great thing. And I think it speaks to the fact that Tennessee, like Florida, has become sort of a safe haven for conservatives to flee these blue states and to find a place to live with their values and among their people. Because, you know, I actually had a conversation with this about somebody the other day, and it was, what is a Tennessean? And I said, well, certainly not just being born here. It's about what you want. It's about your values, what you believe in. You know, do you truly stand behind freedom or not? And, you know, you could look at somebody like Jim Cooper, our previous representative who's retiring, who's just an awful Democrat, and you could say, oh, so, you know, he's Tennessean. But the truth is, he doesn't actually stand for Tennessee values. And I do. So I may have been here a shorter period of time, but I'm actually in touch with the people here.
And what are the, when you started the campaign and you had to go door knocking, introduce yourself, when people started to open up, was there, a trend line? Were there key issues? I mean, this is before the war in Ukraine. So tell us what the concerns were that you heard as an America First candidate.
So two things. One was feeling like nobody listened to them. And they had reached out, so many of them had reached out to representatives, not just in Congress, but locally, and had not gotten responses or felt like they got boilerplate responses and nobody really cared about their concerns. And that really bothered me just as a human being. You know, on a human level, what our founders intended was for us to be representatives of the people, not to be, you know, a group of elite who decide what is best for the people. And I think that's something we've gotten really wrong over the past couple decades. The other thing was, this was happening during all the COVID lockdowns when I announced. So I announced before anybody else. I announced before the redistricting, when this was a hard seat to win, because I thought the conservatives here deserved to have somebody fight for them. And I also saw coming that Biden was going to be such a failure that even without redistricting, I thought we could win it. And as part of that process, you know, what I kept hearing was the mandates and the business closures and how destructive the Democrat policies around COVID had been to their lives. Because believe it or not, even in a red state, we had a Democrat mayor in Nashville, and they deployed a bunch of these destructive policies on small businesses and on workers and on families because these kids were thrown into virtual learning. It was horrific. And the learning loss and the test results we see are just, I mean, we're going to be feeling this for generations.
Nashville, come on, get your act together, guys. We're talking to Robbie Starbuck, Tennessee's 5th Congressional District MAGA candidate. If you love America First as much as we do, make sure to check out our store, SebGorkaStore.com. You can get all your Let's Go Brandon gear, all your America First gear, everything made in America. And the hottest seller right now is the Zelensky T-shirt with the message for Biden when Biden said, "You should run away, President Zelensky." He shot back, "I don't need a ride, I need ammunition." Check out all our amazing, amazing merch items, SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorkaStore.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, SebGorkaStore.com.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
Have you heard the call made by Sarah, the 16-year-old, to one of my Salem radio colleagues?
Hello, this is Sarah from El Dorado County. I just wanted to say I really admire your work with Food for the Poor each year. And I'm 16 years old. I live at home, so I don't really make a whole lot of money. But I have an envelope that I keep on my nightstand, and each time I do get some money, I put a little bit away throughout the year, maybe like a dollar or two, and it's for Food for the Poor. And so this year I saved up $80 to give, and I'm not saying any of this to brag. I just wanted to encourage your listeners who probably make more money than I do. And so if you can just spare a little bit, that would be good. Talk to you later. Bye.
Right now, Food for the Poor is helping the refugees from the Ukrainian war and those who are still stuck there, the innocent women and children. If you earn more than 16-year-old Sarah, will you also help out? This is a nation of 44 million. Less than 4 million have escaped. These are people trapped, encircled by Russians. They have 3,000-plus pastors on the ground getting the aid to them. You literally are saving lives. Please donate as much as you can. Every dollar counts. Call 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Or even easier, just go to my website, SebGorka.com, and click on the Help Ukraine banner at the top. That's SebGorka, SebGorka.com, and the Help Ukraine banner. God bless every single one of you who is helping the innocent Ukrainians who are being shelled, being bombarded by Russians as we speak. That's SebGorka.com and the Help Ukraine banner at the top. Robbie, you're in a peculiar situation because you haven't been yet endorsed by my old boss, President Trump, and a former Trump administration official who I don't think lived in Tennessee but for a very short time, Morgan Ortegas, has announced that she's running for the same seat. President Trump said something about, it wasn't a real endorsement in terms of an official one. It's like, oh, I'm excited to hear the news. I immediately, you know, got in touch with Morgan. I said, What are you doing? I mean, you can have as many candidates as you like, but in terms of MAGA qualifications, America First, we've already got Robbie. Will you give us the latest update on the situation? Isn't there some legislation or some regulations that could be problematic for this new announced candidate?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's a bill right now in our legislature right now, which would ban somebody from running for Congress if they have not lived in Tennessee for a minimum of 3 years before Election Day. That law would not affect me, despite some fake news out there from, you know, some establishment people who want to pretend it would. It wouldn't. I've lived here over 3 years by Election Day, but it would, in fact, kick Morgan out of the race. So we'll see if that legislation comes to pass. It has been passed out of the House and Senate, but the bills are different, so they're going to conference right now. And as long as they can come to an agreement in conference, which I believe they will, I think it's going to pass with very little pushback. I believe in the last vote, only one person or four people voted against it, something like that. It was small, a tiny contingent of the House. So, you know, that is going to be an issue there, I think, that they're going to have to deal with. But aside from just that, you know, what we're seeing out in Tennessee is that knowing the issues and knowing the people matters. And the truth is what differentiates me, aside from just the career politician issues, is that, you know, I've been there. When Tennesseans had their kids forced masks, or they had, you know, put into virtual learning, or people were being fired over vaccine mandates, I was there. When we had a tornado and we had severe damage, I was there to organize the cleanup process. When we had flooding in Waverly, one of our neighboring areas here that's a little bit outside of our district, I organized to have 8 different truckloads of supplies distributed in Waverly. You know, I've been there for the people. I've fought alongside them. I've organized with them. And that matters to people. Whereas, you know, I don't know if you saw my opponent gave an interview recently where she was asked just very sort of simple knowledge about Tennessee and couldn't answer one of the questions. And that has hurt her a lot in this race, I believe, based off of, you know, conversations I've had with voters where they've said, have you seen this? You know, and I'm not one to really, I don't want to go to negative campaigning, because I feel like our campaign is so positive and aspirational and fighting for the people that I don't even need to go there. What I do think is surprising, though, is in the 2 polls we have, she wasn't actually in second place. And a lot of people thought, because of, you know, President Trump getting involved, she would be sort of like neck and neck there with me and it would be a fight. But she wasn't even the person in second place. In one, she was 3rd, and in one, she was 4th. So I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that Tennesseans are going to just say, oh, OK, because a certain person, you know, supports her, who we love, we're going to just jump on board. I think they're looking at it very hard and saying, who knows us?
Yeah, you know, and who has an organic connection? As soon as she announced, somebody sent me photographs of her yucking it up with Joe Biden, hanging out with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I sent them to her and I said, are these real? Are these doctored? She refused to reply. We were supposed to be on the same panel on Newsmax a week ago. She canceled at the last minute. So, Morgan, you can run. It's America. But seriously, now is not the time to divide the camp, and you've got to have an organic connection to that constituency. We're talking to Robbie Starbuck. Follow him at Robbie Starbuck. Also, Starbuck 2022 is the website where you can support him. We are broadcasting to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Pain relief that works. Pain relief that's real. Pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. Yes, I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 3 years later. That should be you. That could be you. There's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Robbie, if you will permit me, I'd like to just go off on a slight tangent now. It's a topic that is very dear to my heart. I discuss it every time we have amazing people on the show like Andrew Klavan, Michael Knowles, and others. You are a man who's worked in Hollywood. You understand culture, telling stories. Now you're running for Congress in Tennessee. That's excellent. Will you discuss for me, or help explain to me, how conservatives lost the plot when it came to culture? If you go back 50, 60, 70 years, American culture, popular culture, was conservative. You look at the great movies, John Ford, you look at Casablanca, you look at John Wayne. We had patriots that were making products for Americans. Now the only thing we have left, literally the only thing we have left, is talk radio. So walk us through your understanding of what happened and what it's going to take to fix that.
Yeah, so it started at the executive level, which is something I don't hear people talk about a lot. It wasn't just, you know, people woke up overnight and the whole thing changed. It was that executives sort of started to get in there and then hire their own ideological minions among the organization. And then from there, they iced out anybody who they deemed to be, you know, sort of an ideological threat. And I think it just grew from there. And it became an environment where suddenly if you were conservative, you just knew you're not going to be able to get a job if you talk politics. And so that's where you got sort of this silent group of conservatives in Hollywood, which, to be perfectly honest, actually is a pretty sizable group of people. They're just completely silent. And it includes some of the biggest stars in the world, you know, but they're just, they're terrified that they're not going to have any opportunity to go and do their job. And, you know, for me, at this point in history, I don't feel bad for them. You know, I'm not really as concerned about their bottom line. These are people who have tens of millions, if not more, in their bank accounts. So if it was me, I'd say now's the time to take a risk. Now's the time to take a risk. There's going to be conservatives who will fund you. I do think part of the problem we have is that on the right, our billionaires don't see the value that the left sees in culture. And so yeah, our billionaires are not content to say, you know what, I'm going to throw $100 million at this project because it's going to make this giant dent in culture. Whereas on the left, they have no problem throwing around $1 billion at things that are going to make a dent in culture because they understand the value long term is saving that party and their ability to reach a certain segment of people. Now, see, let me give you an example. And this is one that's sort of outside what people would normally think. Normally, people want to talk about big movies or, you know, big musicians, something like that. How about Spanish news?
Yes. This is really important. Talk about that.
We don't have a Spanish news network that gives anything except for a far left opinion, period, in this country. It is a miracle, an absolute miracle, that we get Latinos to vote Republican as often as we do. Because I can tell you, I had a Spanish-speaking grandma, a great-grandma, grandpa, great-grandpa, my own mom, my aunts. And let me tell you, all they see on those news channels is left-wing talking points. And still, my entire family is conservative. And, you know, it's not like that in every Latino household, and it's because of the lack of information. We haven't even fought for it. Nobody on our side has even thought about investing the money necessary to do this who actually has the money to do it. And that is a crime. It's criminal. Because let me tell you, if we had a conservative news station that spoke Spanish, we would have probably 70% of the Latino vote. We're already inching past 50 right now because of the failure of the Biden administration. You could get another 20 just by having that in households. And it's because Latinos are a conservative group of people. It's the same thing when you look in the Black community. Almost no conservative presence in the news or content that they consume. And it's because of our failure to reach out and to listen. So at some point, we've got to sit down and say, you know what? We can't just blame groups of people for not getting on the same page with us. We've got to go and do the outreach. We've got to meet them where they are, and we've got to listen to the issues that matter to them and speak to them about those issues. And we can't do that if we don't have a presence in their homes. And so that's one of those many areas we need to fight for as conservatives, and it's why I'm always pushing our super rich Republican donors, you need to invest in culture. I would even tell them, you know, in many races, they don't need your money right now. Where we need your money is in culture. And I know I'm not supposed to say that as a candidate because I definitely want your money still donated to the campaign. But you've got to go out there and fight for culture.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but I was at CPAC and the CEO and some people who were involved with this new conservative Hispanic TV outlet came up to me based out of Miami. So maybe something's happening. So you're absolutely right. Let's unpack that a little bit, given your family history. So you know, I'm not Hispanic, so I need you to give me the sanity check. Drill down a little bit on this issue that I am told so often that the Hispanic immigrants, the Hispanic families in America for generations, that they may vote Democrat, although we saw a record number support President Trump and also Glenn Youngkin in Virginia in the recent election. But when it comes to culture, they're really conservative. Is that an oversimplification or is it in fact true when it comes to family values, religion, life?
It is, in fact, true. And what's weird about it is I really do think that that media presence being only left wing is what has sort of brought that to fruition. Because if you have, you know, your grandparents or your parents and all they watch on TV is, you know, talking heads who tell them this group of people want to deport you even if you're a legal citizen, sadly, a lot of them believe it. And we know that's not the truth. We don't want to deport legal citizens. We want to deport illegal immigrants. And, you know, the truth is starting to get out there now. And I think the internet is the reason why we've seen somebody like Glenn Youngkin win 54% of the Latino vote. Now, see, myself, I'm a little bit biased because I'm proud to come from a group of people who are the most conservative voting bloc in the country, and that's Cubans.
Yeah.
We just don't vote Democrat. We don't do it. We don't like it. We want nothing to do with the crazy. Okay?
Strange reason, you don't like communism light. It's so weird why Cuban Americans, for some weird reason, don't like communism light, which is the Democrat Party. Somebody else who doesn't is the great Mike Lindell. These shows don't get made without the support of our sponsors. This isn't NPR. We don't get $500 million from the taxpayer every year. He's under attack. They want to cancel him. Please support him right now. The pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. Over 51 million sold. President Trump loves them. My whole team uses them. I love them. I travel with my MyPillow. Get up to 66% off all of Mike's products right now at MyPillow.com. Promo code GORKA or just call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Show the man some love. Use promo code GORKA. We're talking to Robbie Starbuck. You can follow him at Robbie Starbuck on Twitter. The campaign page is Starbuck 2022. This is Tennessee's 5th District. He is the MAGA candidate. You're listening to America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain, me included. But it's not just me, it's people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That should be you. That could be you. But there's only one way to find out. But it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. You know it makes sense. Do it today. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. This is the time to find whether this drug-free product can liberate you from your pain. Call today, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Robbie, I ask the MAGA politicians who come on my show, all of them, the same question. You're not yet a MAGA politician in the terms of having been elected, but I'm going to ask you the same question I ask, you know, Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, MTG, Lauren Boebert. What do you say as an American to your fellow Americans who, especially after the last election, just said, "That's it, it's over. I'm giving up. We've lost the republic"?
I would say you need to weigh pros and cons, and you need to look at, you know, what potentially could happen to our country. I mean, if you just ask yourself, what is the best thing that can happen from you not voting and what is the worst thing? The outcomes are just something you can't compare. The best thing is that we have actually fixed the problems in enough states where we're going to be able to get enough people into a majority to actually fight and change things on a wider scale. The worst thing that can happen is that the Democrats just run over us and they have a wider majority. And let me add this, this is the most dangerous thing, is that enough of us don't show up that the Democrats can honestly submit to real audits. And then they can go, look, yeah, we opened the books for everybody. There's no problem. See, the Republicans are crazy. That's what will happen if you don't show up. So you've got to show up. There's just no question. We've got to fight for our country. This may be our last chance to do it in an election where we can actually trust that in a lot of places we're going to be able to get the results in a way that we can trust. There are still places that are a problem. I can't pretend that's not the case, but we've got to go and fight for it, and we've got to try.
It's great logic. It's just common sense. If you win by a lot, it is all the harder for them to treat. So by resigning yourself to the fraud of the Democrats, by saying, my vote doesn't matter, you're actually helping them. They don't have to cheat as much. Or if there is an audit, they can say, well, look, everything's hunky-dory as soon as they've hidden the evidence of anything that is irregular. Ravi Starbuck, I congratulate you. I want you to be in regular contact with Mr. G, our producer here. We want updates on how the campaign is doing. We need a sea, ladies and gentlemen, we need a sea of Robbie Starbucks in America at every level, not just Congress, below Congress, above Congress, because if there are enough, look, the crazies on the other side are a vocal minority. They're not representative of America. We can take it back. President Trump needs us, however, to step up to the plate. It's not about just writing a check for Robbie or writing a check for your local candidate. It's about what you are going to do. You need to run, every single one of you, or at the very least, support physically, not just financially, somebody who is running. Go to Starbucks.
Can I add something to that?
We got 10 seconds. Go.
Vote in primaries. That's where this is really decided. Okay, too many people don't show up in primaries.
Yes.
Also about feed the poor, I'm going to pledge, my wife and I, we're going to donate $500 as soon as I get off the show here today to start it out. And I hope everybody joins us and makes a donation there. If you can make one to my campaign, great. But for today, focus on that because there's some people who really need help.
You're a great man. God bless you. It's sebgorka.com and Help Ukraine at the top. He's right. We need to turn up in the primaries. That's how we get the MAGA candidates. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is One on One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? that was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay?
Yes, was the only thing that people out there watched when it came to the Oscars, if they watched anything at all. Welcome, dear friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network, and you are listening to America First. Guys, that wasn't rehearsed. Watch the video for all those people out there saying they just knew that the Oscars was in the dumpster when it comes to ratings, so they wanted people to watch. People aren't going to switch on to something they hear hours later. And when you see the fact, watch the whole video. That's Will Smith laughing at Chris Rock's joke until he does what? John, what happened?
He turned around and slapped him right
in
the face.
No, no, no. When did he stop laughing?
His wife.
When he looked at his wife. He turned to his wife, Jaden's oops, I'm not supposed to be laughing. And that's when he got up and slapped him with a haymaking slap. And as Mr. G said, and we do not condone violence here unless it's justified. Then we condone violence. When it's justified, yeah, absolutely. When it's fascists, communists, rapists, bank robbers, yeah, the more violence, the better. Thank you very much. But why a haymaker of a slap? I'm a bit confused. Somebody insults your wife and you slap them? A little bit of a right hook perhaps would have been justified there. Not that we condone violence, unless it's justified. And then afterwards, the way he shouted, that was a man in anger, which is a bit weird. And this is my last comment because it's the Oscars, really. Who cares? When you do a little bit of a internet search about Will Smith's marriage. If you're in a quote-unquote open marriage, which actually means you don't have a marriage because strange men are having sex with your wife and you're allowed to have sex with strange women, why'd you care if your wife gets insulted? Because she's not really your wife. We believe in real marriage here on America First, but we couldn't ignore it because it's apparently melting the internet. But as John said earlier, what's the challenge? John, what's the challenge for the left now, mainstream media, with that incident?
You got to find out which one of them is white.
Which one is the white guy? And before he told that to me in the pre-production meeting, I tweeted out the following. Looks like another example of white supremacy, doesn't it? Yeah. What's Juicy going to say? Juicy Smollett. Okay, let's get to the real stories of the day. Gaffe after gaffe, at least four incredibly embarrassing gaffes from the man who sadly bears the title Commander-in-Chief and President of the United States. Not only did he say at the Brussels NATO Emergency Summit the following, that we are going to use chemical weapons against Russia if they use them, which would be an illegal war crime, because since 1972, America has been a signatory to the international treaty banning biological and chemical weapons. He went on to say what? To the 82nd Airborne. And you're going to see what it's like in Ukraine when you get there. Little question for everybody out there. What do you think Putin thinks when he does that? Ah, I think I can use that soundbite. Because he's going to be playing that 24/7 on the state TV channels, on the state radio channels, which is all there is in Russia now, to say, look, see, the Americans are coming. That's how dangerous the brain farts of this senile old man are. But to continue, because that's just two of the things he did. On top of that, he sat down in the dining facility, the DFAC, with the troops. And instead of the usual scenes of adulation, with warfighters wanting their commander-in-chief to sign their MAGA hats, you had him sit down and almost choke on a slice of jalapeno pizza. Now, you don't laugh at that. You think, it's embarrassing, right? Not very manly. I like extra jalapenos on my pizza with a little chili flake on top and then some hot sauce. That's how I like my pizzas. But here's the real issue. If you're a second lieutenant, if you prefer, when do you eat? You eat when everybody in your platoon, in your squad, has eaten. From the sergeant on down to the newest PFC. You do not eat before them. You don't go up to the chow line and then stuff your face while people are still in line all the way out the DFAC. Try and find me just one photograph of President Trump stuffing his face at a military base in front of those who haven't eaten yet. Because you won't find one. Because the man who went to a military high school, he knows it's not done. But perhaps most disturbing of all, we have him afterwards give an impromptu comment when he goes off teleprompter and says that Putin must be removed. Here he is. Cut to.
Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia, for free people refused to live in a world of hopelessness and darkness. We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
What does that mean in English? For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. I speak English. It means he must be removed. But within minutes, what did the White House have to do? They had to do damage control to say, oh, no, we're not calling for regime change. The phrase must be removed doesn't mean regime change. Well, I guess you have no idea how that is being used right now in Moscow. I guess you have no idea how it's being used in Tehran, in Pyongyang, in Beijing. Those dictatorships in China, in North Korea, in Iran, got a very different message. That this man who sacrificed and surrendered Afghanistan now wants to do regime change in the largest nation in the world that also has 5,000 nuclear warheads. That is how serious the stakes have become when, quote-unquote, 81 million Americans voted for this senile, corrupt old man. He's doing it again. Oh, my gosh. He's giving a press conference right now. All right, if we have brain fart number 48, we'll give it to you momentarily. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Be sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you never miss a nanosecond of our show. Go to your podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Punch in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribe. It's free. Write a review. It matters. Share the links with everybody you know because we have a republic to save. Later, we're going to talk to Alex Marlow, Congressman Daryl Issa, Mark Davis, Stuart Wilkie, Chris Buskirk, and Robbie Staubach. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't you dare touch that dial.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.